Okay, welcome everyone. This is Margaret, and this is class number 4 for Powerful, Passionate, and Fabulous. And today we are going to talk about the heart. We're going to talk specifically about the concrete wall around our hearts. And so today we sort of move up from a lot of the second chakra work. We move up to the third and to the fourth chakra. And incredibly powerful place to work for a lot of different reasons. Everybody, a lot of people, you know that the heart means love, right? And the heart means forgiveness, compassion, all of these wonderful things. And I know that all of you on this call experience a tremendous amount of love for people in your life and are probably very compassionate and have an amazing capacity to forgive other people. But today we're talking about how we do that when it comes to ourselves, how we allow or withhold love from ourselves, acceptance from ourselves, compassion for ourselves. And the incredible, shockingly incredible impact that that has on the law of attraction, on what we're actually manifesting and drawing to us and materializing in our life based on what's going on at our heart chakra, okay? So the way that we get started today is I want to talk a little bit about the heart chakra, and then we're going to go right into an exercise, and we're going to do some great tapping today, of course. So when we go up from the lower chakras, we've just been talking a lot about the second chakra in the last couple classes, of course. And in last class, we dealt with the hedonist, which is kind of one of the shadows of our second chakra. Okay? So I just kind of want to review the chakras up. At the first chakra, you recognize that you're solid and that you have a body and that you're physically here on the planet. So in the moment that you're born, you go from being, you know, one in spirit to actually the moment that you're conceived, right? You go from being total spirit in infinite and unlimited and completely connected to everything that is divine. You come into a human body, and you're, when you're born, you realize, oh my God, I have a body. I'm actually separate and solid, and I'm not at this physical body level. I'm not physically connected to everyone and everything. I am alone. I am separate. And I am also mortal. I could actually be killed, harmed, or injured. So our body is that consciousness about our individuality and how separate we are and how we are solid and part of this physical solid world, the opposite end of the spectrum from being pure spirit. At the second chakra, we feel the world. It's how we sensually interact with and feel the world through our nervous system, our senses, through the physical body that we have at the first chakra, and all of the emotions associated with that. It's where we actually feel who we are inside of us, feel our deepest needs, our aspirations, feel what we're drawn to, feel what we want to avoid, what we're not interested in. And so based on that feeling, we develop our self-image, which has to do with how valuable and powerful I am as I wrestle with the world and let it come in and mingle with me. At the third chakra, this is where we recognize that based on that unique physical body and that unbelievably unique second chakra that we all have, we recognize that we are completely unique. So at the third chakra, we really recognize, oh my God, I am a freaking one of a kind. I am a one of a kind, never been seen before, never will be seen again, miracle on this planet. And as we come up to the fourth chakra, we fall in love with that quality. We recognize, oh God, that amazing uniqueness that I have, I can't wait to share it in relationship with other people. So at our heart chakra is where we come into relationship with other people lovingly. And Deepak Chopra also teaches that at the fourth level of spirituality, which is the level of the heart chakra, it's about wisdom. So at the heart, which is the integration of those lower three chakras with our upper chakras, Okay? The heart is sort of this really powerful integrating point in our body. It pulls together the love and the acceptance of that crazy lower self that you have that's got desires going all over the place, self-sabotage and all that crazy stuff, and your upper chakras, which are your higher faculties, your spirituality, your mission, your aspiration. So at the heart, we kind of look with this wise view and say, oh my God, you know, I just have all these flaws. Of course I do, I'm human. And I still love and accept myself. Because in the big picture, I'm unfolding perfectly. So it's the heart where we really live that phrase, I love and accept myself. I love and accept who I am. Not just the me that's being perfect, but all of me. Even my crazy flaws. Even when I make mistakes. Right? And so, and it's from that place that we are willing to reach out in relationship with other people, and because we so love who we are, we want to share it. And we want to see that amazing miracle that's in everybody else. So key to the heart chakra is the real deep level of loving and accepting my whole self. So what blocks the heart chakra? The thing that blocks the heart chakra is always your mind. The mind comes in, which is specifically the sixth chakra, okay? The mind comes in and makes decisions about whether or not we are worthy of love, forgiveness, and compassion. So why would the mind do that? Well, we've learned and we've got evidence that there are certain ways that we should be, certain levels of perfection, certain rules about how we should do things and things should work and shouldn't work, certain rules about what's a mistake and what's not, what I should have done and what I shouldn't have done, what I could have done better versus perfection. And based on that judgment process, that critical view of things, we can shut down the heart. Now, when the heart's open, there's wisdom there. We see the big picture. We go, oh, my God, in the scheme of things, right? We see the big picture. When we see the big picture, we often bring acceptance and compassion to things. So the mind is the biggest shutter of the heart. And the concrete wall that we all have in our heart, because we've all got some in there, is literally a construct of your mind. Okay, so how do we get at your concrete wall? Because when you've got that wall, which comes from that critical mind, you are engaging with the law of attraction a million times away in a very negative way about yourself personally. You are manifesting and allowing abundance, love, joy, all the things you want to come to you in a very specific way. Because your mind has decided how deserving you are. And that's what we're going to hold and see and feel at the heart. Okay, so I want to really make this connection for you. So here's what I want everyone to do. I want you to close your eyes. And I want you to imagine that you could bring up the story, just like it's a movie of the week special, and it's the story of that thing that you did that is still unforgivable. Something that you did in the past that you have not forgiven yourself for, that if you look back, you can say, no, I should have known better, I should have done better. It's unforgivable. And you can even look at your life today and maybe even still see evidence of how you're paying the price of that thing that you did. Maybe in your money, maybe in your health, maybe in your self-esteem. So I want you to tune into that event. the It's Unforgivable event. And just see yourself there. Notice how old you are. You know, maybe you were 5, maybe you were a teenager, maybe you were 30. So I want you to see yourself there in that movie. And I just want you to get a check on a scale of 1 to 10. On the phrase, it's unforgivable. What I did is unforgivable. Okay? Sometimes it's something you did. Sometimes it's something you didn't do. Right? So I just want you to get a check on that. Okay? And notice how you're feeling thinking that thought. And I want you to guess how many times a month do you think this crosses your mind in some way, shape, or form. Really think about that. How many times a month do you think that this brushes your consciousness? And I want to suggest to you that you're probably off by about 50%, because it's probably twice as much as that. That this event, the consequences of it, the mistakes you made, the should have known better, should have done better, brushes your consciousness at least twice that many times, a day, a week, a month. Okay? Every time this event or any part of it or the evidence or the aftermath or any the evidence that you still have in your life, maybe in your money, like I said, maybe in your health, maybe in your living situation. Anytime it brushes your consciousness, there's a vibe that goes out with you directly to the universe that says, I don't deserve. It can also sound like this: this debt that I have, this crappy result in my life, this poor health, any of the effects of that old event, the vibe is, I kind of deserve what I'm getting. I kind of deserve what I'm getting. Yep, still guilty. I kind of deserve what I'm getting from this. And so your vibe to the law of attraction is, yep, this is exactly right. What I'm manifesting, the results that I'm getting in my money, my health, my relationships, pretty much getting what I deserve. Okay, I really want you to make that connection. This is why it's so powerful to tap on this. And I find that people won't, because when they look back at this event, they go, well, I mean, why would I tap on that? I'm right. I'm right about it. I should have known better. I should have done better. I screwed myself. I screwed somebody else. I did something horrible, and I'm right. Why would I tap on that? I've already got that one figured out. So we're going to tap on it today. So first we're going to voice very loudly your inner critic, and then I'm going to take some feedback on it. Okay? So just tapping right through the points. There I am, making a huge mistake, doing something awful, something so stupid, so destructive. I do not forgive myself for this. Why would I forgive myself for this? It caused so much pain. So much loss. I can't let it go. I think about it so often. Sometimes I imagine all the things I could have done better. God, why didn't I do it right? If I had just done it better. If I had just seen what was happening, if I had only been strong enough, smart enough, but I wasn't. It's unforgivable. Unforgivable. I refuse to let this go. This is too big. Too bad. Too shocking. And it created too much loss and pain. Yes, there were other people involved, but I blame me. I'm the one. I should have seen it coming. I should have known better. I should have been smarter, stronger, more conscious. It's unforgivable. And I am right about this. This is my story. And I watch it over and over. And I wish I could change it. I wish I could go back in time and shake myself. Wake up! What are you thinking? But I can't. But I can call myself guilty. A million times over. I can sentence myself to punishment a million times over. I can remind myself of this big piece of evidence a million times over. I refuse to forgive myself. Okay, and take a nice deep breath. And I just want you to notice how harsh that sounded, okay? The inner critic is ruthless. And when we do this to ourselves, even when it just brushes our consciousness and we don't even notice we're going through this cycle, we are breaking our own hearts. So I want you to look at the picture again of you and see how intense it is now. The I should have known better, I should have done better, it's unforgivable. Okay? And you can start to, if you want to, give me a comment. Now, depending on what the event was, how intense it was, will depend on how much tapping that you need to do. Okay? But what we're looking for is some feeling of compassion coming in about this old event. And do you know what that means? When you start to feel compassion, your heart just opened. Okay, so I'm going to come to Tucson, Arizona.
Yeah, hi, this is Ute. I am just amazed because it just brought me back to this event when I was about 12, 13, and it just launched all these things. It's actually, it's almost like when you said it's not forgivable, I didn't even think that it was even possible, I mean, to forgive it. And I'm starting to actually see that there is actually a little bit of a possibility of forgiveness there. But it just set me up for the rest of my life, and I've never seen that before until we tapped. It's like I thought it was like set in rock.
Yeah, and that's why I call it concrete, right? The concrete heart wall. This is it. You know, and
this is it. From there on, everything became confusing, and that has it's like this now. This thread through all my life. Whenever I get into places where I can experience happiness or power, any of it, this always comes in.
Yeah, and so energetically, when you can look back on that and say it's unforgivable, you have to manifest more punishment in your life.
Exactly, because I really believed, there's this belief that was somehow implanted at that time, that there was a big part of me, it was my fault, and I was part of it, so it must have been my fault, right?
Yeah, and so, you know, it's like even when, so when bad things will happen, there's this, or, you know, say someone had like a financial disaster and then they have debt because of it, even though we can say, I can't believe this is happening to me, I wish I had better things in my life, there's this little part of us going, yeah, I kind of deserve this, because remember what I did?
Right, and it's always, there's always, the other thing that's always with me is like, I have to make up for it. I have to make up for it. Like, in some way, I have to be good or better or do better because, you know, that I have to make up for things.
Yeah, so I want you to hear in that, like, so I've never been deserving. That's something that I have to earn and fix.
Exactly.
Right?
I have to earn it. Exactly.
And this is where it goes directly to the I deserve vibe with the universe. Right? It's like, no, not yet.
Yeah.
So I like to make people really aware of how destructive I should have known better is, because it sounds like such an innocuous little phrase. And people will say, but Margaret, it is true. I should have known better. I could have done better. It's such a powerfully negative thing that we don't catch ourselves doing that is destroys that vibe of deserving. It says, I don't really deserve yet. I actually deserve what's happening to me right now on some level. Okay?
That's
awesome.
Right.
All right. So you keep tapping for this one, okay? And I want to see from you guys if we need to do another round on the I don't deserve or I can't forgive myself yet. So I'm going to come to New York. I think it's Alfie?
Yeah. Hi, Margaret.
Hi.
That's me. I feel like totally screwed up now, because this morning I just finished saying inside of myself, it shocked me, I love all of me. So now we're tapping on this stuff, and the biggest thing that comes up is not so much the thing that I've done is what is both my parents, because neither one of them ever said I deserved anything. And
yeah,
so
the unforgivable, is it your parents are unforgivable?
No, I think it's made me feel like there's something wrong with me that no matter what I try to do, both my parents in one way or another would say, like, no, it's not right to help you. No, it's not right. You shouldn't look for help, you know, all those kinds of things. So I think I've sabotaged myself as we were doing all this, that every time I start to do things that didn't involve my family, then that you don't deserve anything would come up and I'd screw everything up.
Yeah, so you know what I want you to focus on? I want you to focus on this younger version of you, and the unforgivable act is, I believed them.
Okay.
Okay, so I want you to look at the little girl that you were and say, you believed them, and that has screwed me.
Right.
Okay?
Got you. Okay.
Awesome.
Thanks.
So I want everyone to look at the picture of you again. Okay, and you might be feeling a little more compassion, but I want you to think about the destruction, just as we started to get to there, that it's caused. I want it, before we move on, I want to also get to what has the price that you've paid because of that mistake. Okay, before we get to compassion and forgiveness, we want to really voice, what is the price you paid? What did you lose because of that? Okay, I'm going to come to Colorado. Crestone, I think, Colorado. Are you there? I'm unmuting Colorado. Somebody in Crestone?
Hi. Yep. Yes, this is Faye.
Hi, Faye.
Hi, I just had to follow Alfie again. I just have a very quick thing to say, and that is that what really is the biggest part of this is that I don't deserve it yet. It's the yet part. I'm a striver. I'm a builder, and I've let everything else in my life take a back seat to what, you know, to striving for what I wanted. But it's been a life of striving and not getting. That's the hugest part of all of this. I don't know if it's true for everyone, but that's what stands out for me, that I'm still, because I have some compassion. I thought, well, at least I didn't hurt anyone else.
Right.
I just hurt myself. And that, yeah, I do. I don't deserve it yet. So I'm always trying to be more deserving, and it hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, and it's the mind that says, not yet, because, and so this is what happens. Great comment, because so many people, you know, I've heard that from so many people, and that's why my little expression is always striving, never arriving at the actually point where I deserve, right? So when the heart's closed, there's no wisdom, there's no big picture. It's the mind. And the mind will be based on your tribe, your family, your upbringing, whatever. It's looking at a more rigid view of this standard, right? And so it's in the profile system, we call this the knowledgeable achiever, and it's the dark side. It's the rule keeper, right? It's there's a rigid view of what success is and what achievement is. And when I get to that standard that I have set for myself, then I will be deserving. Okay, so we set this impossible standard in view that deserving isn't intrinsic, it's earned. And it looks like something that I've got this impossible view of. And when I get there, then, like this impossible point in the future, I'm finally somehow going to have earned my deserving. Right? Whereas when the heart is open, we recognize, oh my God, I deserve right now, even before I lift another finger, I deserve. And when that vibe comes from the heart, the way that you manifest reward in your life totally, totally changes. Okay? So I'm getting a lot of people in the webcast who are saying, please do another round on this deserving issue, because it's really triggering how much I don't deserve. Okay? So we're going to do another round of tapping. Starting on eyebrow point again, or any point you like to start on. Okay. There I am. I feel a little bit of compassion. But what about the price I've paid? The loss. The suffering. Because of that mistake. I lost everything that day. I lost me that day. I lost something that was important to me. I lost a piece of me. I've really paid the price for this. I'd love to forgive myself. But I don't know if I can. I don't know if I should. Don't I have to hold myself accountable? I can't just let myself off the hook. I've got to hold myself to much higher standards. So I need to hold on to this blame. To make sure I learn my lesson. So much pain and loss. So much suffering. I'd love to be more compassionate. But it's just too big. It's too much. I'm too sad. I'm too angry at myself, and I totally judge myself. I was an idiot. I'd love to forgive myself, but what about the price I've paid? And nobody understands. Nobody gets it. I need to hold on to this to make sure I learned my lesson. Okay, and take a nice deep breath. And so, you know, the interesting thing about tapping as a clearing technique is that we literally voice the dark stuff and it releases and it gets lighter. Okay, and so when we voice that, you know, we kind of become conscious of how harsh that is and ruthless, and it releases. So I want you to look at the picture again and see yourself there. How do you look? How old were you? Given your life and what was happening and everything you knew up until then, is there any way you could have known better? Is there any way you could have really figured it out? Is there any way you could have really done any better than what you did with everything you had going on at that time? And I want you to think about if a young person came up to you at that age that you are in that picture, and they started to tell you about this mistake they had made, would you say to them, yes, you should never forgive yourself from that. Never, never, never. Or would you say to them something more about the big picture in the scheme of things and about doing your best and about growth? Would you say something to them about how every challenge has a blessing in it, a gift, something you learn that you take forward, and that's what matters? Yeah, we do that for other people, don't we? But we, when it comes to ourselves, we're pretty ruthless. We are pretty ruthless. So I want you to look at that younger version of you. Was he or she doing their best, the best they knew how at the time? Forgiveness is realizing there's nothing to forgive. I was doing my best. I've always been doing my best. Even when it looks like I'm doing my worst, at the time, in the big scheme of things, in the picture of my life, in challenges and growth, I was doing the best I knew how at the time. So I just want you to see and feel that. And we'll do another tapping round on that. And then I want to take some feedback, okay? And, you know, if you still feel really, resistant, if there's still a lot of, no, what I did is too bad, you know, that's okay. You want to keep tapping on that, because when you find something that's that stuck and ruthless and pretty harsh, I mean, I've had people say, I'll say, what age are you picturing? And they're like, 5. And they're like, she should have known better. She should have known better. She should have known better. And I'm like, wow, right? That's pretty harsh for a 5-year-old child that you're looking at. So it's not logical, because when we come to ourselves, we're not logical like we would be to a 5-year-old child, right? But these can be really hard to break, because it's not a real feeling. It's a stuck thought process. In stuck thought process, when the mind believes it's right, is harder to break than a real feeling, a real emotion. Okay, so when your mind, if you're looking at the picture and you're still like, yeah, no, I'm right, this is unforgivable, you just have to keep tapping on it and saying it over and over and over. It's unforgivable, I'm right about this. It's unforgivable, I'm right about this. Okay, it just means that you have an even stronger mind around, no, this is my view of what's right and what should have happened, and I'm not going to budge on that. Okay? But we're going to move on and do a round up with a little bit of this compassion in there. Okay, and tapping through the points, there I am. I'm just going to honor all the things that were going on in my life. It was actually a really hard time for me. And there's no real way I could have known better. There's no real way I could have figured it all out. There's no way I had the energy, the presence, the consciousness yet to be stronger, better, wiser. The truth is, I was doing the best I knew how. I was doing the best I knew how. With everything going on in my life, I was doing the best I knew how. I've been blaming myself for this for a long time. And I feel the sadness of that in my heart. And I'm open to releasing that, to healing that, to moving that energy and letting that unforgiven vow just flow out of me. I'm open to releasing this unforgiven, this unforgivable, this should have known better, and the I don't deserve that comes with it. Because from this vow, I've manifested a whole bunch of justified punishment to fit my crime. I've manifested a whole bunch of pain to match my undeserving. And I'm so ready to let go of that life sentence. The truth is, I did learn from that event. I did change. I learned something there. I grew. It was painful. But because that happened, I've had growth in some way. I'm just going to honor that too. In the big picture, I was doing the best I knew how. And things unfolded exactly as they were meant to. And the truth is, I did learn the lesson. Do I still need the punishment? I'm so open to letting this unforgiven go. Okay, and take a nice deep breath. And give me some feedback on that round. This can be, you know, particularly intense. These are the kind of tapping that people will email me after and say, Margaret, I was sobbing and I couldn't unmute because I was crying so hard. Okay? And I'm just going to come to the Q&A too, because I know there's people coming in there. Lot of emotion. People are saying on the webcast here. Wow. Okay. And so I think I've got New York, Alfie, unmuted.
Yeah, hi. This is great. First of all, thank you, because you cleared up a big thing for me. I always thought there was these big feelings, but I realized you're right. It's a stuck thought process. And how I see myself is like a deer in the headlights. You see the car coming. You know you're going to get hit and can't move. And because of that unforgiveness, stupid me, all that other stuff that goes with I should have, could have, would have, which I heard a lot in my life, I did not trust my own judgment. And I have learned and I have made choices and changes and still am, which feel right to me and are better for me. So this kind of lifted a lot of that I don't know, I would say like in the back of my head, don't quite look at it, but see it kind of floating on the other side, and brought it back into focus for me.
Yeah, awesome. You know, it's kind of like we can have two hearts. You know, we can have this big, warm, loving heart for other people, and then we'll have this little walled off area of our heart where we're saying, yeah, no, I don't forgive that about myself.
Right.
Right. And so, you know, and it's really kind of like the mind controls it, you know, because it's the mind that's stuck on it. The heart has wisdom. Right. And so, you know, you want to look at that event and remember that when we look at the past and we say, you know, that shouldn't have happened, you know, I should have known better, I should have done better, that whole thing shouldn't have happened. Basically what we're saying is I know better than the divine. Right? Like, hey, that actually right there was a mistake from the divine. And so with consciousness and when we do this kind of personal development work, the goal is to be able to, and we don't just get there spontaneously, you know, sometimes we have to work our way through it, just like when we grieve a death. But the goal is to be able to look at the past and see that even in that, there was divinity. That divinity was unfolding even in that event, as horrible as it may have been, that there was something in that event that triggered your life purpose, that triggered growth in you, that triggered a commitment in you. You know, some people made a commitment from that day forward. I, you know, have battled, you know, this. I've been on a mission to do this in life, right? Or I made a vow that I was going to love my children and do this. So you want to see that something in that event was exactly what you needed. You know, we can't go back and undo the past, but in the heart's wisdom, we can see that divinity has always been unfolding, okay? And that's when we have actually our seventh chakra is opened and we're not just running that from this rigid view of our mind. We're seeing the big picture, our hearts open, and we have access to that wisdom. Again, like we would tell a young person, right? Oh, you know, you should forgive yourself because in the big picture, you know, we're so good with it with other people and not with ourselves. So awesome. Okay, I'm going to come to Pennsylvania. Philadelphia, I mean. Yeah, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. I think it's Wendy. Oops, I didn't unmute you right. Hold on, Wendy. Okay, there you are. Yay.
Yay. I think. You know, I was having trouble really honing in on a particular incident. And at first I was thinking about a time when, like, I really allowed myself to be abused in a relationship. But it didn't really feel like that was it. And at this last round, it started feeling like I started thinking about my poor impulse control when I was a little kid, you know, that I was constantly getting in trouble because I lost my temper. And so I was just kind of wondering, what's the best way to work with this when there's not really like a single incident or, you know, if it's more like a behavior pattern or something? Because, I started crying, so it felt like this was really something that I was touching on. And I feel like, yeah, it's kind of like ridiculous to have blamed myself for my poor impulse control as a child. But
well, they're both
it really was huge. Yeah.
Yeah. They're both, you know, two sides of the same coin. They're both about your power, right? So first, mm-hmm. if you were to really tune into yourself as a little child and picture you being like tantrumy or bratty or whatever, right? You mm-hmm. want to work with that because they're sort of like, I hurt people and I had a lot of consequences when I was powerful. Right, because when you are out of control or whatever you're doing, it's a child who's using their power, right, exerting their power in ways that aren't that fun for an adult, right?
Yeah.
Right? So it's around your power, and then in the other scenario, it's like you wouldn't use your power, right?
Yeah.
You allowed yourself.
Yeah, it's like to me, that feeling is just one of, like, overwhelming frustration. It does not feel powerful at all.
When you look at the child?
Yeah.
Yeah, and so, you know, you need a little tapping to get there, but when we're looking at a younger child that was sort of out of control,
mm-hmm.
right, and all over the place, if you do some tapping around that, you know, you're going to, in process, the feelings that you feel like you're looking at that little child, and then you process those feelings of looking at that child and really tap about it, like whatever judgments you would have, you know, she's out of control, I don't want to see this, it's crazy, whatever you would tap on, okay? When you do that a few rounds like that, you'll be able to see the child very differently and see the power that the child was carrying, okay, even though it was sort of in a negative way, right? So
okay.
Probably got in trouble and learned, I got to shut that impulse part of me down, that crazy, wild, big energy part of me down.
Yeah.
And vowed to not be that. So now what can I be? Well, I can sort of be somebody who has no power.
Yeah. I mean, it's like the big energy that was positive, I felt shut down too. So,
yeah, because we shut down both. You know, when we try to shut down the dark side, we shut down the light side too. Right?
Right.
So because when we depress something, we depress all of it. It's like when people take depressing, you know, medications, that when you're depressed, it depresses everything, like joy and sadness. You don't feel anything as much. Right? When we take things like Prozac that sort of turn down all the intensity.
Yeah.
The same thing in your body. We sort of have to repress that whole energy, right? And then the other side of it, because you came in with some big energy and some power, any time we have in our life, especially we have, you know, that charismatic leader profile, so anyone listening who's got that, often the unforgivable event is when you were, you know, when you were fearful, when you let somebody overwalk you, and that'll be the unforgivable event. If somebody's got a strong, knowledgeable achiever, you know, then the unforgivable event is always going to be around not figuring something out and not knowing better and all that kind of stuff, right? So it's the thing that's most unforgivable for us is always going to tell us the most about how we block our power, right? So either one of those, you know, you kind of have a battle on both sides. It's unforgivable when I don't have any power, but when I was young and I had this natural, you know, kind of like exploding energy everywhere, I that was unforgivable too because nobody liked it, right? So you kind of have it on both sides. Right. And that's why it'll feel kind of like a despairing frustration, because it's like, I can't go either place with this.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I don't want to own that either.
Yeah. So I just want to say, like, as I keep tapping, it should become clearer what the core issue is, because it still feels like really murky.
What I would do is the same process we're doing right now. When you rewind the audio, picture yourself as that little out of control child.
Okay,
and make it really loud, like total meltdown, tantrum, impulse problems all over the place. And I want you to really rail and yell at how unforgivable that little child is and how you don't want anything to do with them.
Okay.
And then see what happens as the picture changes, because it's that, you know, that's where you made the vow to not have your power.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks.
You're welcome. I know that's going to resonate for, you know, for a lot of people. Okay, so I'm coming to Fort Bragg, California.
Hi, Margaret.
Hello.
Andy. I, too, have been having trouble visualizing. Actually, throughout everything I've done with you, I see that I have trouble visualizing. And it doesn't stop me from having emotions come up in a big way, so it's something's working, but I'm also not landing on, like in this case, a particular event, although some different ones have come up and they've evoked something big. So I'm just going with that, and when you were talking with, I'm not sure who it was, but maybe it was Wendy, about trust, like there's something out of the incidents of the past,
yeah.
I what's come up for me a lot lately is I can't trust myself. You know, I can't trust that I'll accomplish. I can't trust that I'll do it right. I can't trust that I have what it takes. And what's shown up all throughout my life, or since whatever the initial incident was, is a lack of, you know, like I don't deserve to be satisfied or fulfilled. I am always trying to make up for something, whatever it was. I'm always trying to make up for it, and I'm hoping nobody finds out, you know, that I'm a fraud. And
yeah.
It's all loud, very loud right now.
Yeah, so a couple things. So when you try to visualize, what happens? Do you go from thing to thing to thing, or, like, what happens when you try to visualize?
It's just, like, blurry. You know, there's not anything, I can't see. Like, when you talk about how do I look now, you know, how do you look now when you look at yourself after this tapping round, but I can't see myself. I can't see anything.
Yeah, so it's a couple things you can try, right? Some people aren't, like, super visualizers, right? And so what I'll say to there's a couple things you can try. It can be a sign of that you're really defended around this, which means I really don't want to trust myself, and I don't really want to go there.
Yeah.
Right? Now, emotion is coming up for you, but, you know, it can be a sign of that there's a pretty strong defense mechanism in place, right? Of this is how I operate, and I'm not going to start trusting myself because I don't, and I'm right about that, okay?
Exactly.
Which is how we work.
Uh-huh.
So you can do two things. I do recommend people to do a round of tapping that sounds like this. I can't see it. I don't want to see it. Why should I see it? I really don't want to see this. I really don't want to go there. I really don't want to change. I really don't want to see this.
Okay.
Just keep tapping on that. And then they're like, wow, I can see it. Okay. But also what you can do is I'll say, if I'm working with somebody one-on-one, I'll say, okay, even though you can't see it, I just want you to guess. If you were to see, you know, guess, what event do you think it would be? And they usually have an event there. And I'll say, okay, if you were to see yourself standing in that event doing that big mistake, what would you guess you would feel about it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and you usually know.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm getting the emotions around it, and now I'm getting more about it. It's like I know the story of it, you know. There's like the story's been there since it happened, so I know the story of it, and that's what I bring up. This is like a short version of the story.
Yeah. So what would your feeling about it be if you were to tune into that story?
Yeah, well, it's what was happening in the tapping round is really upset, really embarrassed, you know, sad, really like a criminal.
Yeah. I mean, okay. So this is a thing. So in there, the defense mechanism says there is a part of me that's so dark and so bad, and such a monster, such a criminal, so horrific that I don't want to see it.
Yeah.
I don't want to go there. You know, and this is often a big charismatic leader trait, right?
That's right.
Because we know we have a big dark side. And so I was just working with a whole group of people yesterday on, you know, biggest fear, fraud. They're going to find out I'm a fraud. It was like everybody across the board, right? And so what happens is it's like, if people really saw me, they would see this horrific dark side in me. And they'll immediately know that whatever I'm pretending to be, this good, loving person, is a fraud.
Yes.
So when we've got that, we have to have a massive amount of defense around that. Okay, and that makes sense. And defense is there for a reason. That's why we don't try to just, like, rip it away and say, you've got to face this.
Right.
We tap and we go, I don't really want to see this. It doesn't feel safe for me, you know. And so what I'll do sometimes with people is I'll say, but I'm open to letting some of the feeling go today. I think it would be shame. I'm open to letting some of that go. Like, let some of the steam off.
Yeah.
Okay. So what happens with you is when we talk about unforgivable, you're going to your biggest core issue right away. Right? Is that there's this darkness in me that's just, I could come up with a million scenarios and it's the same darkness.
Yeah.
Right, and it's not okay. It's unforgivable for me to have that. Right.
Right. Okay. That's good.
Yeah. So be gentle on yourself about it, and just know that this is how, even with tapping, our mind, our willpower can kind of come in and kind of like say, not going to go there. Right. And it's doing that. It's doing that for a reason. And sometimes it's good to to work with a practitioner who can sort of help you come through it, and you feel like, you're with somebody one-on-one and they're like there with you energetically.
Yeah, I need that. I do.
Yeah, and to work, I've got Kerry and I've got Bethany, because what happens is, especially when you work with someone who's been coached under me, there is nothing that anyone can say from their lower self that is ever going to be a blip on the radar because we do this kind of lower self work.
Yeah.
Right. So you're with somebody who's like fabulous. That means you're a charismatic leader, and you're like, oh my God, I just told them that I killed somebody, right? And you're like, yeah, that's your right. And so there's really it's a way to work with somebody who is going to be incredibly accepting of whatever we come up with on our dark side.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Because every dark thing we have has a light side to it, and it's just an aspect of that, right? And it's part of being human, So admitting that we have, for instance, murderous tendencies, I have murderous fantasies about my wife or something. It's like, yeah, of course you do. Everybody does.
Right, right.
Right? So sometimes that can really help, because charismatic leaders, we don't want to be seen, and we're kind of hard to work with because we're very slippery and we'd rather figure things out. And sometimes we can trick therapists, right?
That's how I feel about my therapist.
Yeah, you're like, I can completely pull the wool over their eyes.
I want somebody smarter than me in that way to work with me. Because I know I can be, slimy.
Yeah, it's a chameleon, and you want somebody who's going to call you on your stuff.
Exactly.
Right, and that's and speak to your light side, not agree with you when you convince them that you're broken.
Right.
So awesome. Okay, great comment. Because again, when you speak the truth for a lot of people listening. Okay, I'm going to come to New Jersey.
Hi. Am
hello.
I on?
Yep, you're on.
Did someone say hello?
Yep, I can hear you.
Oh, okay, I apologize. I have several questions. The first one is, when you mentioned about the profiles, the charismatic leader, and all of those things, where is that from?
That there's some training that you got as a bonus, and so it should be on your class page. It's called the Reese Method Life Purpose Profile Training. Right?
Okay.
And it comes from Reese Thomas, who's my partner and my fiance. And it's a system of profiles. It's five different kinds of people on the planet, basically, that he teaches in his energy medicine school. And so you can read the history of it. It came from the work of Alexander Lowen. And so you can read about it, hear about it there.
Okay. No, right. Alexander Lowen. Okay.
Yeah.
And then the second question is, if you're in a place where you can't verbally, really speak or speak really loud, does that have any impact on your being able to release at all or to be able to summon up the emotions?
Yeah, when you're tapping, you mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's still better to do it. You may want to try tapping again in a situation when you can, when you can really voice it, get in your car and drive out somewhere. But I always say, remember that the tapping points are making a change in your nervous system and your energy system when you tap them. So when you're feeling something, when you're tuning into it and you're tapping, that's how it acts as a clearing technique. It's kind of like disconnecting it from your nervous system and your energy body. Right. So it kind of depends, if you feel like you wish you could scream and you can't, you might want to get that scream in at a later point.
Okay.
Right.
And the reason why I asked Okay, go ahead. I didn't mean to cut you off. What were you going to say?
Well, because the voice is such a powerful element in healing. The fifth chakra is the healing channel. And so what we voice with our fifth chakra is really powerful. So letting this stuff out, because we're already speaking it into ourselves, really negative stuff all the time, letting it out and then bringing in the positives with our voice is really powerful.
Okay. All right. Thank you. And I was just going to say the reason why I asked that question was because I felt like I could not connect as much, but I was wondering whether or not that was because I'm not really fully vocalizing, like, with all the emotion and everything because of where I am.
Yeah, you know, definitely if you sort of have to keep a lid on it energetically, you will. You know, like sometimes when I'm in live groups, it's amazing what we can work on kind of intense stuff. And people just, it's like they know that they're in a live group and they can't go, like, to the deepest place where they're at, right? And so there's a level of sort of, oh, I got to hold it together a little bit. And so you might want to, try it again and just see if you can really bring the emotion up and in. Because if you can bring the emotion up, that's when you can really get the best clearing. And certainly there's lots of people commenting that they're having a lot of emotion process on the on the webcast and everywhere else. So awesome. Great question.
But I do feel like I just wanted to add, too, though, that I do feel like I feel that the energy is shifted and clearing, though.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially, you know, that's why I like people to tune back into the picture. When the picture looks different, you've made a change in your nervous system, your unconscious mind, your energy system, because your mind is painting you a picture of what you're carrying now in reference to this old event. Okay.
Thank you. So the important
thing is, does the event, you know, do you feel more compassion there?
Okay, thank you so much.
So I do want everyone to kind of take a look at the picture again. And just kind of see yourself in that old event. And we kind of did some tapping about the truth is I was doing my best, okay? And just kind of see, you know, how does it feel now when you look at your younger self? How important is it to remember that you made this mistake, to keep that evidence alive, right? And what's your perspective now on the utility of that in your life, of learning that lesson? And what is the gift that you got from that old event? What did you learn? Okay. And so here's the thing. Here's the real test, is when we can look back at that event and feel compassion for ourselves, but also see that that event, that because of that event, we're actually smarter. Because of that event, we actually became stronger. Because of that event, I actually trust myself more now than I did before. Because of that event. That's the real test. So I want you to just think about that. Think about that event, all the things you learned, the pain that you suffered, the perspective that you have now. And what we do when we have this unforgiven thing is we let that event be the reason that we don't trust ourselves, that we don't deserve, that we don't think we're smart enough, that we're afraid because we're going to make a mistake because we did that one time. And with our heart open and the wisdom of our heart, we recognize that because that event happened and I lived through it and I see it, I actually trust myself more. I'm actually smarter because of it and less likely to not see what's going on, not to become aware, not to make a change, a tweak, change directions, put up a boundary. I actually trust myself even more now. And that is another gift. Okay. So I want you to look at the event in another way, which is, what does that old event say about how deserving you are today? About what you deserve. Because every time you have remembered it and it's just brushed your mind, and you've said, should have known better, shouldn't have done it, should have been better, should have done better, should have known better, and you've rehashed it. Why did I do that? You've said to the universe, I really don't deserve. Still, I still should be being punished for this crime. And so as you're looking at it now, do you still deserve the punishment? And if not, what do you deserve? What does someone like you, who's gone through that event, who overcame it, who dealt with it, who learned from it, who actually now has the compassion and the forgiveness about it, before you do another thing in the world, do you or do you not deserve? And I want you to really feel that all the way through. This isn't, you know, we often try to, we know that we have to be deserving, so we try to think that down. We try to think it and affirm it and think it down into our body. This is a natural rising up of deserving. Okay. So I just want you to start tapping. And imagine that you could just be there with that younger version of you, the person that made the mistake, that you could step into that picture with open arms and an open heart, with the wisdom and the compassion. Just, and imagine that there's just this beautiful green heart energy surrounding the two of you. And you can grab that younger version of you and give them a hug. And tell them, it's okay. It's okay. You are doing the best you know how. And I want you to give them a piece of advice. Just like you would to somebody that age who made the same mistake. I want you to say to them, you need to forgive yourself for this. You need to let it go. You've learned the lessons. You've made the changes. You've had the loss. You've already had the pain. You need to let it go and move forward. Because you deserve forgiveness, compassion. You deserve understanding, and I'm giving it to you now. You deserve love. You deserve joy. You deserve abundance. You deserve your heart's desire. Not because of anything that you do, but because you just deserve. Just be there with that younger version of you and give them permission to let it go. And just imagine that that younger version of you lets it go, and that lets it go at another level inside of you. And now I want you to imagine that you're there, and now the room is filled with people. All of these people that represent everybody that's on this class right now and who will listen in the future. And everybody in that room has just given this unbelievable gift of love and forgiveness and acceptance to themselves. And honored their deserving. And just see that beautiful green heart energy of all those open hearts, the wisdom, the compassion, the forgiveness of the heart that loves you a room full of them. And let that green, beautiful light just spread out in that room full of amazing people who have done something so courageous today. And let it flow into universal love. Everyone in that room, beautiful open heart chakras. Everyone in that room has done courageous healing. And we are all connected right now. It's a lot of love. I want you to look at around the room, just energetically. You're looking at all the other people on the call. Is there anybody that doesn't deserve? Now, you don't know what they do, what they accomplish, what they are, who they are. Is there anybody there who at an intrinsic level doesn't deserve to give and receive their heart's desire? So it's just like Oprah. You're looking around the room and you're saying, you deserve, and you deserve, and you deserve, and you deserve, and I deserve. Because when your heart is open with this compassion, not only do you see the perfection that you are, you can see and perceive the perfection in everyone else instead of filtering that through a lens of standards and acceptability. So I want you to perceive the divinity in everyone and yourself. Do you deserve? Does everybody in this room deserve? Awesome. Okay, so we're going to start tapping just through any of the points, okay? Even though I've been holding out on myself, this event, like a cement room in my heart where I'm unforgivable, which means I deserve punishment. I forgive myself today. I was doing my best. I've always been doing my best. In my imperfection, I am divine and human. Always growing. Always making mistakes. And always divine and deserving. I'm letting go of the cement block in my heart that has kept me defended in some way, blocked my ability to love me deeply, which blocks my ability to love other people just as deeply, which blocks my ability to let the universal love in, to feel how loved I am by the universe. Because I thought the universe judged me too. I'm open to letting go of that cement block so I can feel with my heart open all of the love pouring into me and the love bursting out of me for myself, for the universe, for other people that I care about, for the divine. I'm letting myself feel the warmth, the presence, the wisdom of my undefended heart. And I commit right now to see the love in divinity in myself. To see myself as so lovable. To look for pieces of me that are so lovable. And I commit to seeing it in other people. And when I see things I love in the world, in other people, in the entire universe, I open my arms with my open heart and I say, yes, I love that. And as I love, I draw to me. I literally manifest more things to love. I commit right now to proactively looking for reasons to love myself. To proactively looking for things to love in this world. I commit to letting myself fall in love with everyday things in my life. Fall in love with my paycheck. Fall in love with what I just made for dinner. Fall in love with the beautiful blades of grass in my yard. Fall in love with other people. They're funny, they're crazy, they're brilliant, they're mistakes. I commit to letting myself fall more in love with life than I've ever been. And as I feel that, it is completely clear to me how much I deserve to feel that love. To express that love, to receive and let that love wash over me. And the entire universe and quantum field is listening. I deserve. I deserve. I deserve what my heart is wanting. And what my heart is wanting deserves me. I totally honor, love, and accept myself. And take a nice deep breath. Awesome. Okay, so anyone wants to comment on that? I'll take some more comments. But you can just kind of sit there for a minute and let that energy flow, right? It's really nice to kind of energetically connect with everybody who's on this class, whether you're listening now or in the future. Okay, energetically, we all just connected, sent each other love. Saw each other's divinity and affirmed each other's deserving. Okay, you know, it's interesting when we're feeling love bubbling up through us, it doesn't even even occur to think about our deserving. But when we're judging ourselves for anything in the past, all we're thinking about is our deserving. Okay? And we're not, and it's not a pretty picture, right? We're literally sitting there like a judge laying out a punishment. Okay? And so that's what I ask of you guys, is to allow yourselves to fall in love more, bigger, every day. Okay, so I hear Alfie there.
Oh, yeah, hi.
Oh.
Just like you said, it's so easy for me to forgive others, to say they deserve everything, to encourage others. I don't care how dark and funky it is. It doesn't, you know, faze me. But with myself, it's been a real difficult thing. I can think I deserve it, and sometimes I can feel I deserve it, but the two rarely meet.
Right.
So if I, you know, so if I feel it, I won't think, nah. If I think it, nah, I don't feel it. But this is allowing me to recognize for me that I give myself permission to do it at the same time, even if it's just a little bit every day.
Yeah, and again, you know, the whole dance with do I deserve and don't I deserve, you know, sometimes try to think about, you know, just taking a break from that whole discussion and argument in yourself and just be in love. Be in love with Alfie. Be in love with Alfie's world. Be in love with people. Right? Because when we're in that state of feeling, we are just so open to receiving, and it's like more things will arrive that we can be in love with.
Right.
Okay. Awesome.
Great. Thanks, Margaret.
work on your deserving next week.
Okay.
Okay. Okay, awesome. I'm coming to Tucson, Arizona.
Yeah, I actually, what I got, this whole concept of punishment, I'm going to let that go. It just really opened up for me. There's, when you were talking about the learning part, I mean, that's, you know, there's things that we learn, and I personally love learning, right? And
yeah.
And if I take the punishment equation out of things, like, you know, the judgment and all that, it just really, you know, just opened up my heart. It really opens up my heart. And I'm really excited about that. So.
Yeah, it's like if we got the learning, do we still need the punishment?
That's right.
You know?
That's right. Yeah.
Especially after we did that round of tapping, where you sort of spoke out the pain you've already had. I mean, it's like, have I suffered enough? Right.
Yeah. You know, I mean, that's like a big thing. I just really got. It's like, wow, you know, I've been carrying this whole concept of like, oh, you know, you did this, you made a mistake, now you need to be punished. No, you know, it's like I've left that with the cement block. So
yeah,
it's just really freeing me up, and it's just bringing a lot of joy into
awesome.
You know, just into my being right now. It's really
awesome.
Sensitive. Yeah.
Thanks, Uda.
Thank you.
Awesome. Yeah, it's interesting, you know, as I've been doing this work, some of the most loving people that I know have such an unforgiven in themselves, you know, and I think like, wow, you know, you take somebody who's already so loving and compassionate and mentoring of other people, and what happens when you chip away this unforgiven that they have on themselves, you know, two things that I see happen is it totally changes what you receive in life, what you allow yourself, how much reward you allow yourself to have in life. But I know that even though that they were so loving and compassionate and forgiving already, I know it's got to deepen. I know it's got to deepen, because the way we do something is the way we do all things. And so, you know, all loving and compassion is always going to be gated on how much can you love and have compassion and forgive yourself. So I know that I take somebody who's already an amazing healer or just compassionate, loving, supporting person, and if they can do some of this self-work around their own unforgiven, you know, we do some amazing, amazing things with them. Okay, I'm going to come to Oregon. And I know some of you guys listening are those people. Okay, Portland, Oregon.
Hey, Margaret, it's Cindy.
Hello.
How are you?
Good.
I just wanted to tell you that I've kind of been on and off the call today because I'm at work, and I originally didn't think I could even be on for a second today, and of course the universe lined up and changed things and made it so I could listen in, so I'm really happy. But I wanted to tell you that last night I don't even know where it came from. It seemed very out of the blue to me, but I just got triggered, and I started crying, and I started tapping and really going, I just really came to this deep conclusion of how guilty I feel about leaving my brother behind and what's happened to his life because I left. And you know, he's 10 years younger than I am, so we had a real mother-son relationship. And I always knew in the back of my mind that I had guilt about that. But last night, I mean, I spent 2 hours just crying, and I couldn't stop and tapping and, you know, trying to work through it. And finally, I just, like, gave over to it and, you know, wasn't looking to feel better, just hoping to tap and fall asleep at some point, which I did. But I couldn't figure out, you know, really where it came from or what it was about. And then I get on this call this morning, and you're asking us to think about the event that we feel most guilty about. Or
yeah,
and it just made me realize it's something. I'm sorry, I'm interrupting, but something. I don't know if it was you, or I don't know if it was God, or the universe, or maybe it was Carrie. I don't know, but somebody last night was preparing me for today, and it makes me really see the big picture of this process. That what you're doing is so connected at a deeper level. That, you know, even before we're on these calls and this is happening, that things are happening even before that.
Yeah, and that's really common. You know, like when people sign up for my Inner Circle program, I'm like, the second you click that button, the work starts, because something is going to show up. And particularly for people who have like a lot of emotional intelligence specialist or a lot of charismatic leader, which I know that you have, very, very psychic at the second chakra. Very, very psychic, right? And so you're reading it in the field. And your energy system already knows what's coming, right? And so you started to bubble already, right? You started to get tweaked and percolate.
Yes.
And so, you know, you want to look at that. And I've had weekends like that where I was like, dear Lord, when's this going to end? And I am just sobbing. Because when you have a strong charismatic leader, you'll have a really strong vow that it's my job to take care of this person. It was my job to protect them, right? And so it's a really big and a really hard one. It's going to, you know, a lot of sadness will come out with that, because it's such a strong calling in you.
Yeah.
You know? Because you're
responsible for everyone.
Yeah, you know, because your life purpose is about being this leader. And some charismatic leaders, they're more like the protective, like a mother bear charismatic leader. But there's this, like, bigger charge, even from a young age, to take responsibility for somebody.
Yeah.
You know, to be like, I'm the strong one. I can do it. I can protect them.
Yeah.
And letting that go, you know, it's just really, you know, so try doing some tapping on it, you know, now that you're calmer on, you know, I feel like I'm breaking a vow. I broke a vow, you know, that it was my job to take care of him, you know. And so when it's something really intense like that, you know, I like what you did. You kind of was like, okay, I'm just going to, like, you know, let this kind of process. I will tap and say things like, and I need help with this, like, hello, passing by angels, spirit guide, whatever you got, you know what I mean, crystals in the back closet, I need some help with this, you know, and I'm open to, you know, my guides, my higher self that's here to work with me in the light to help me with this, you know, that will often make me feel a lot better, you know, that you can kind of say, like, somebody help me with this, right? Again, you know, working with
it doesn't occur to me to ask for help.
Yeah, right, because you're charismatic leader, right? It's like, I gotta muscle through it. And that's the trust part, you know. And sometimes there's anger at the divine, you know, like when I'll do this kind of tapping and then I'll think of God and I'll be like, and another thing, where were you when this was happening, you know? And so I don't ask for that kind of help because now I realize, okay, I'm kind of mad at God too, you know. So then I kind of work on that a little bit. And so it comes down to trust, you know, is trusting the divine, trusting yourself that, you know, because of this event happened, you know, does it make you, you know, are you a hero or are you a criminal, right? Mm-hmm. Which one does it make you, you know, and if it makes me a criminal, right, then there's more tapping to do. If it's like, wow, that was the event that really woke me up and has somehow triggered some of my life purpose, right? Then I had a sacred contract with my brother around that. Right,
okay.
We had a contract to come in and
do
this.
It feels like I'm still both. I'm both. I am the hero and I am the criminal at the same time. Because I saved myself, but I sacrificed him to do it.
Yeah, and so, you know, so you want to look at that, too, just see where, you know, and this is what we do, is we take it so on, like, that it was, mm-hmm. you know, that it was all about you and your choice, and you sacrificed him, right? It's kind of like saying he doesn't actually even have his own walk here on the planet, right?
Yeah.
Able to, and so, you know, you want to honor that and process it that way, but it, and the light side, it kind of, you know, it says a lot about you. You know, it's like I'm always going to be the type of person that holds myself to a really high, responsible place for others. You know, that I don't just go and, you know, have no moral compass. Right? That I have a pretty high moral compass. So that's wired into you too. Luckily, or you probably would be a criminal, right? So if you're a charismatic leader, the reality is you do have to make, you make a conscious choice every single day. Am I a criminal or am I a leader? Am I a criminal or am I a hero? Right? We make that choice every day and we can't pretend that we don't.
Is it sometimes how I view myself too? About how I view myself, whether I view myself as a criminal or a hero?
Yeah, well, it's knowing, and so this is where the archetypes of the dark side comes in. It's knowing that you're both.
Okay.
You are both, right?
Okay.
You know, that we have the dark side in us and the light side in us. Could you be a criminal? Yes, there's many criminals out there, and they live in that lower self. Do you have this higher consciousness and these vows about being responsible for people that are also wired into you and part of who you are? Mm-hmm. Yes. Right. So are you the type of person that when you feel like, I could be a criminal right now, but I also, right? And that's the reality. People, we pretend that we don't have that and when we're really unconscious, we'll really feel like, you know, no, I don't have any dark side. I'm this super good person. And then, you know, we see this all the time in Hollywood, right? Somebody has a little drinking problem and all of a sudden their dark side is revealed. Of course they had a dark side. Right? It's when we pretend we don't have one, we get into trouble. So you want to do some tapping around, yes, I'm a frickin' criminal, and I'm also a hero. Yes, I'm a frickin' criminal. I get it. I am. And I choose to be a hero today.
Okay, rather than vowing to never be a criminal, vowing to always do the right thing.
Yeah. You can't.
Making it a choice instead.
You cannot be human and make that vow.
Oh, that's true.
Can't be. Maybe when you are an ascended master and you rise up full body into the heavens, you can live that vow to be 100% good. we have a lower self, you know. Check out the shadow effect, the Debbie Ford book with Deepak Chopra. Right, about the shadow side. It's the belief that we're supposed to be good, 100% good, that gets us into trouble. Okay, the truth is you're human, you have a dark side, you have a lower self, right? And, you know, it's kind of like we're talking about forgiveness today, okay? I don't live in a state of perpetual forgiveness like Mother Teresa probably did, right? I have to work my way to forgiveness, but I choose to do that. It's a choice for me. I don't just say, oh, I've forgiven everyone and that doesn't bother me. I work through the fact that first I might have murderous rage and fantasies about killing that person or having them somehow, you know, ruin their own life. And that's pretty fun for a while. And then I tap on that, and then I can get to, and then I tap about my loss and how that hurt me and how I'm angry about that and it's so freaking unfair. And then I might have sadness come out, and then I can get to forgiveness. Right? But that is a conscious choice that I've made. Right? It's the same thing with, am I a criminal, am I a hero? Right? I could use my powers for evil. I could make that change any day. You look at the work that I'm doing, I could decide I'm really just about the money. And I could just start going that direction and being like, I don't care about these people. I'm just going to and try to milk as much money as I can out of something. Right? I could do that.
Yeah.
And people have gone that way when they've gotten a taste of money and power and fame. Right? That's in my lower self. It only cares about money in me, and it's narcissistic. But I also have a heart and a higher consciousness and a mission and a higher self. And all of those things work together in me, and I choose. Right? I choose every day because those choices come up, and we have to make them and walk that line every day. We have to walk that criminal versus hero line every day. So, you know, give yourself permission to walk it and love the hero in you and love the criminal in you.
Okay.
Love them both.
Make the choice.
Yeah.
Love them
there,
both.
You know, there are certain situations that you could be in at some point in your life, God forbid, that criminal in you might come in handy.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. We never know. Okay, awesome.
Thanks.
Okay, guys, let's see. I've got a bunch of people with their hands up, and I'm not quite sure who I've gotten and who's not. So I'm going to lower hands. If somebody wants to, one last comment, we can get it in, and then I've got to run. But this was a really awesome class today, really fun to do, and I think it's going to process for you guys for a while. Okay, I'm coming to Colorado.
Hi, Margaret. It's Faye.
Hello.
I've never had such a response. I cried after the second and third rounds. And I got my number from 9, which is, this is unforgivable, down to, is it possible a 0? Or maybe just at that moment it was a 0. Is it possible to do that?
Yeah, I mean, it is, you know, it's kind of like people will say, you know, about our chakras, right? Can I have my heart chakra open all the time? It's like, well, you can have it open and then life happens, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, healing is about, we do this work with tapping. We can do a lot of clearing and take down a lot of the old story and a lot of the energy. And then when you come back into your life, you know, you're going to get triggered, right? And so it's okay to, you know, you can be at a 0 and feel fabulous and have no charge around it. And then, you know, something can happen and you can feel like, oh, I think I'm at a 2, right? That's how we grow. That's how we're always in motion and in change. You know, something might happen and you're like, oh, my God, I just felt my heart close because now I'm thinking, that's not how I'm supposed to be. That should have been better, right? So
when I was down to a 0, I had this experience, a very physical experience of my second chakra opening, and then my heart started pounding in my chest, my physical heart just started pounding really, really hard. And I was feeling lighter, but really feeling everything. And then my mind kicked in and started to distract me from it, like, oh, you better start doing this, and you're just wasting your time. And
yeah. Yeah, so, you know, you started to really, really feel, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, so I want you to think about that, that you know, there's more to your second chakra than you've seen yet, probably, because when your heart opened and you started to be more compassionate, you really started to feel more.
Yeah.
Right? And so there might be there's a little bit of guarding around feeling too much for you, right?
Yeah, that feels right.
Yeah, so that's okay, you know, and know that, that's what I say to people, we don't have to you know, rip away any old coping mechanisms. We can feel that. But now that you've had that experience, you can return there. Okay?
Yes.
And so there's a crystal bowl meditation that I'm going to have Liz put up, if it's not up there already, that's called Universal Love. Okay?
Yes.
And when you listen to that, you want to listen to it on speakers, let it hit your whole body. It's going to trigger, you know, mainly your heart chakra, but it's going to let you feel what it's like to experience universal love. Right? So it's there to help gently trigger your chakras, particularly your heart chakra, to let you feel what it's like to just experience universal love, to be totally held in universal love. And the crystal bowls are harder to resist. They turn your mind off.
Yeah.
Okay. So, you know, play them and you'll probably be able to return to that same feeling. You know, it's about starting to, you know, feel your way through things instead of listening to your mind. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Letting yourself be more open so that you can allow more in into your life and that you can experience more out.
Yeah.
You know, be totally in love with your life, totally in love with, you know, a pencil. Wow, look at this pencil. This is awesome, right? It's a fun way of being, because really, if you look around the room you're in right now, everything in that friggin' room is actually a miracle.
Yeah.
You know, I can look at the lamp and my computer. It's like, oh, my God, this stuff is miraculous, and I love it.
Thank you.
Awesome. Okay, guys, and so we'll talk to you on next week's class. So talk about getting a little triggered in advance. In case you want to get a little triggered in advance, next week's class is Unleashing Sexuality. We're going to have guest speaker Lisa Campion on with me. She's the head teacher at the Rees Thomas Institute of Energy Medicine, and we are going to talk about the life force energy that is sexual energy and how you can use that energy even if you're not in a relationship and you're not in a sexual place right now because you don't have a partner, how you can use sexual energy, which is creative life force energy, for any kind of creation you want to have in your life, in addition to bringing up a bigger charge in your passion and energy and sexuality. Okay, so we are going to be talking about sexuality and how to bring that sexual energy up, whether or not we want to use it for sexuality, which is pretty fun, or anything in our life that we want to create. So awesome. So we'll talk to you guys all next week. I'm going to unmute you guys so you can say bye. Bye, everybody.
Bye, Mark.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye.